This is the Age Real Footy Podcast. Our hearts beat true for the red and the blue. The D's play finals for the first time in more than a decade. The eight looks set, but could Port still be a sneaky chance to steal a spot? And who will get home finals and the double chance? We ask where the AFL's priority should be, talk player punches and so much more.
Look who's running the goal. It's Rioli. Does he try and thread the needle? Rioli!
Wanted to go to Baker. Decided not to. Goes and finds Edwards, who wants to go and does. And Dusty's going to finish with four.
Sends one inside 50 again. Well trapped by Zorko. He's got the support of Taylor. Fed it inboard to Bailey, who tried the don't argue. Got it away to McCluggage. And the Lions have another.
Oh, Stevenson.
Hello and welcome to the Age Real Footy Podcast. My name's Michael Gleeson, and joining us this week, a bumper panel, Bob Murphy, Caroline Wilson and Jake Nile. Welcome to you all.
Back by popular demand,
Michael. By popular demand, all three of you, actually.
Must have been highest ratings last week.
Yeah, we did well last week. But we didn't see all these results coming,
did we?
What an amazing weekend
it was. No one could see a Melbourne win coming against a good team because they hadn't done that. Other than the weight of the averages finally saying that they should win one.
Some of us saw it.
Bob and I did. We tipped them.
And you actually, did too, so did Jack. I. So, in fact, most of us saw it.
I tip West Coast, but I'm pleased for Melbourne that they've got in. I've rated them all year, and my faith has wavered at the end, but they were tremendous, notwithstanding West Coast injury problems are pretty acute.
What was the biggest hurdle they overcame, Bob?
They're in. I think that was the big... I mean, yes, they went into state and, it was against a top eight side or top nine side. That was kind of the stigma attached to them last week. But I think just the fact that they are now... They're in. They're going to make it. That's a big weight off their shoulders. They've still got more boxes to tick. This week, there's the separate situation for them where now they can shape their position, but also that we expect them to beat GWS at home. So there's the next box for them to tick, and then, of course, the first final awaits.
I thought the other box they ticked was that I know they beat Adelaide in a close one, but they won a close game. They were challenged right at the end. I mean, when West Coast hit the front with that...
Isn't
Mark Lacroix a beautiful kick?
Yeah.
It's just a great kick.
Classic.
It was a riveting final quarter that they came back so... And dare I say, two former Bombers just were so crucial to that win, weren't they? On the weekend.
Yeah, and he looked like he'd done a hammy and then he didn't.
It was great to have him back, but Jake Melsham.
And I thought Hannon
was
really important, well. And I wondered whether at that ground, I don't want to have a go at Jesse Hogan, but I thought that the one tall and then these fast moving forward setup worked very well.
They did play two. They had Sam Wiedemann there as well.
Yeah, but. Yeah, that's true. They did.
What I despise about this industry is an inability to live in the moment. So on Monday, one day after Melbourne have made the finals for the first time, as you said, Gleeson, in 12 years, should they trade Jesse Hogan? Trade him when he's hot. Do it now. Do it this year.
They won a game without him. Don't need him anymore.
It's like, guys, come on. Anyway, that's just a little bugbear of mine. I personally don't think they should trade Jesse Hogan, by the way.
No. The beating a top eight side was... or top nine side, Bob, was significant in our sort of expectation of them. But surely it's also something that's been festering in their minds too, that they'll have a greater confidence for the fact they go into the finals having said, hey, the second team on the ladder, we beat them. They can carry that through.
They had to battle that. It's not quite a stigma, but it's close to of, when players are at a press conference saying, we are not mentally weak, that's really soul-destroying to have to sort of constantly answer those questions. So it was a move in the right direction away from that stigma.
Bob, do you think there'll be a really significant belief growth that will take them into the finals that – I mean, yes, people talk about being released. I don't know if you went through the Bulldogs.
Because of what, especially if they win this week, that's what I was sort of talking about, that as good as the win on the weekend was, it did kind of exacerbate this thing of the expectation wasn't there. That the Demons, they do win when the expectation's not there. Can they win this week? So if they beat GWS this week, I think psychologically they go into that first final with real momentum, and they get. I know there's a lot of ifs and buts, but I think they should win this weekend. Then they go. They win the first final. Then the world is their oyster. They are. They're hot to trot. Then
I you know, I was so happy for several people involved in that win. One of them is Peter Jackson, who the AFL is insane if they don't look at sending him to, dare I say, another club. If not this year, then maybe next
year.
Does
he have no say in the matter? I thought he was semi-retiring.
In the end, he'd go, I reckon. I reckon he'd go to St Kilda. Anyway, that's just me. But Nathan Jones.
Yeah.
Do you know him well?
I know him a little bit. I've spent a little bit of time with him, and he's... But I've admired him from afar. He's one of, having endured. So I think it's 12 years since the final. I think I wrote about him this year. Described him as the Jiffy firelighter at Melbourne. He's just, despite all the hardship, he's burnt away and tried to spark them. And you could see the emotion after the win on the weekend, how much it meant to him.
What about the Cats? Did they just do what the Cats do, which is, you know, win at home and beat up on a team? Does it change your thinking from the other week?
That doesn't change my thinking about the Cats, but people have been pretty generous to Fremantle this week following that loss, I reckon.
Much generosity to them.
Well, no, people are saying, oh, come on, you know, that it's obviously a rebuild. It didn't really mean much to them, blah, blah, blah. Why the Perth media are baying for Ross Lyon's blood. He is completely on the nose in WA. And I know he's got a longer term contract and he's doing what the club told them to do, but is he playing enough kids? I mean, they've re-signed Ballantyne. They've re-signed Harley Bennell. Is that right? And yeah. I just wonder whether that's really the way he should be going. It was a pathetic performance by Fremantle.
Absolutely. It was. I think the thing is that Fremantle have become this year irrelevant. We bring up the word relevance, but they're just not in the conversation of things that matter in the competition, other than their own effort to bring in players. Now, they've been written off from being a finalist for so long. So really, not only have they not played finals, North Melbourne missed the finals, but they're thereabouts quite a lot. Fremantle have been, since 2015, nowhere near it. And there's going to be another year like this probably.
What did we expect from them this year? I think, what are they? They've made eight wins. Before
I thought
the
they
weekend,
could win 10
I thought,
games.
You know what? I had them. I thought eight wins, that's probably about where they're at. I thought it's a small step forward. But then on the weekend, I saw it live. That's as bad as it gets. I mean, consider right now they're probably in the Monday review, the Freo Dockers, and it just sends a shiver down my spine.
But there is. Did they look like they lack spirit?
Yeah. Yeah, they did. Nat Fife's he's a beast, but he was manic and he was trying and it just didn't look like the rest. You know, it was cold and wet. And it was a miserable, horrible experience for them, but it just looked like it's near the end of the season. Just let's flick the bales on this season.
And is that the point that when you realise it's over, well, you just pack up and wait? And was there
I said at the SCG at the end of 2016 when Sydney beat Richmond by... I mean, it felt like that sort of defeat. It was the last round of 2016. Richmond lost by about 16 goals, and you remember what was going on then, and the following year they win the flag. So
it's the critical mass, I think, in those occasions. Cold, wet, away from home, really. They know they're going to lose at a certain point in the game. It's once three or four, five start to white flag it, then it becomes a massacre, and that's what they got.
Did you get a sense of that on Saturday, Jake, with Port Adelaide in the last quarter, the way they surrendered, really?
I actually saw something different here, Gleese. I'm a little bit critical of Port, but I thought Port's effort for three quarters was pretty strong. And I think Paddy Ryder was so influential early in the game and getting them going. He did well against Grundy, and then Grundy wore him down, and Grundy's just an extraordinary player.
He's not fully fit, is he?
No, he's not. He couldn't jump, and he went forward, and the structure was right out with Paddy Ryder. I thought Port, a little bit disappointed that they didn't fight it out defensively better. But I saw a team, Collingwood, I saw a team that has got something exceptional. And I looked at closely at the game from the contest point of view, and the way they're winning the contests in close and swarming around the ball, they would have beaten any team bar Richmond, in my opinion.
Yeah, and they were in a winning position against Richmond a few weeks ago, and then they got those injuries. Depending on who you talk to, you know, some felt Richmond were always in control. I don't think they were. Collingwood are the big threat for me, but it's worth pointing out that Port have been really disappointing, and the way they recruited for the now, and it hasn't worked. I mean, I don't know who's been more disappointing, Jack Watts, who's been dropped a couple of times, or Tom Rockliffe. Probably Rockliffe for the expectations.
I think Watts.
Do you?
Yeah. Mm.
I think Rockliffe.
Rockliffe missed a big chunk of summer. What's more with Jack, it's the same. The Melbourne situation has happened
again
in a short period.
Like, so why would you be disappointed? Because surely they go there. Both go there with flaws. You know that they're failings. Why would they be any different?
Well, because well, with both of them, they've left clubs where there's been political issues surrounding themselves.
Yeah, we've seen when players change a club, have a change bounce. Of environment, then you see it, and then you see them sort of flourish.
The monkey's off their back. So that didn't happen. It's been devastating for Ken Hinckley. And, you know, obviously losing Charlie Dixon last week, it was always going to be tough if they did make finals. But they've been the big disappointment for me.
I think I'm more disappointed with Rockliffe because I expected more. And I thought Jack Watts has served up pretty much what he has. Rockliffe has output for a midfield-type player who can play forward has been below what I would have thought he could have done for that club.
Yeah, so do I. But I just think, given a bit better health, better preseason, I think Tom Rockliffe is a bit more bankable. I'm just sort of because the best of Jack Watts is, you know, he can be a star, and then it was just like, and then the question of appetite for it rears its head again. It's like, really, again?
Yeah,
yeah, it's true.
So, do we rule a line through them now? The eight looks to me to be set. I don't
it's
see
pretty
them.
Set, doesn't it?
I can't see any of the results changing to get them. Port or certainly
no,
North.
The Geelong's percentage has sort of ruined that for everyone else.
What are they going to do this weekend? They've got Gold Coast at home.
It would be impossible to see another Sydney Gold Coast situation. Cool.
What is upset of the
now that would be an upset
of the biggest upset in the history of the game.
They were pretty good on Saturday night, the Gold Coast. Anyway, we're not talking about them at the moment. I'm sorry, boss.
No, we'll take a break there and come back with priority picks.
If you've got a tip, feedback or a question for the hosts, email us at realfootypod@fairfaxmedia.com.au.
With his second kick and his first direct shot at goal, Tom De Koning comes in and kicks and puts it right through the middle. Look at the current boys go!
Well, De Koning joins that very elite group of first game, first goal. How bad are the Blues and the Suns, Jake, and do they deserve the priority pick? You've written a lot about this.
Yes, they do, Gleese. It's
why?
Not everyone it's a long argument, but essentially two wins for Carlton. They finished bottom 3 years ago. They applied then. They didn't get it. For reasons best known to them, they said they didn't want one. I think there's been a significant U-turn on that issue.
That was a publicity stunt. Complete publicity stunt. They thought they weren't going to get one again, and they thought, let's take control of this situation.
Part of it too is the self-talk, though, isn't it, of your own people to say, we are not
absolutely
a charity. I thought at the time, I get that. I think,
And they're trying to convince free agents to come to their footy club, and who wants to come to a footy club who's asking for a priority pick?
Doesn't that just make it worse now? Because they've said, we can fight our way out of this. No, we're in charge of our own destiny. And then 10 weeks later, actually, we're not. We're really not very good.
No, I admire people who change their mind as a woman, and we do it all the time. No, I really do. I think if you make a blue, put your hand up and say, we made a blue. They had to ask for a priority pick.
Oh, look, they should have from the start.
I think if there was any doubt about it, the game against the Giants a couple of weeks ago, when there were 16 players and 17 players on the field and the Giants kicked 7-1, I think in terms of you can't get to a lower ebb as a football team than that when you're outnumbering them on the field and you're going. I think they get it. I think the Suns, I think they can thank the Suns. I think this is a subplot, Caro, is that the Suns, the AFL is so keen to help the Suns. They know that the Suns have a range of problems that, you know, we can write down a list of their problems. And that Carlton are kind of a collateral beneficiary because they're below the Suns on the ladder. So I think that there's a sense that they have to help both.
Yes. So the report started last week that, unlike Brisbane of 2 years ago, they would get a pick at the start of the draft, not after the first round. What do you think's going to happen now? Because Steve Hocking was a bit cagey over the weekend when he did all those radio interviews.
Yeah, well, Steve was messaging about this, and clearly I think they've thrown out the one and two priority picks for those clubs as almost to scare the other clubs.
And everyone's right.
And everyone riles up. The coach of the Bulldogs says, no, that's not right. Everyone gets outraged, and then they turn around and say, I think they'll give them middle of the first round, which would be after every team that misses the finals has a pick, they get an extra pick. So at the current ladder, or sorry, not any ladder, that would be 11 and 12, they get a pick for Tom Lynch as a compensation pick for him leaving as a free agent. So that would make it 12 and 13, 12 to Carlton, 13 to the Suns, and that would give the Suns 2, 3, and 13, and would give the Carlton 1 and 12.
So what about Brisbane, who have been bottom of the ladder or second bottom or third bottom and will be third or fourth again this year for 5 years in a row and only got an end of first round one 2 years ago? I think Brisbane have got a right to be a bit peeved about that.
Brisbane got an end of first, as you said. Brisbane's academy, though, I think is producing, if you look at Harris Andrews and you look at Hipwood, they're exceptional players, Caro, and they've got them through their academy. So that all comes into the picture.
What about
I would say
St. Kilda?
Just one thing. I just want to, yeah, St Kilda. No, I think St Kilda are not yet at that point. St Kilda, Steve Hocking made a point on radio. He said that the environment he mentioned at St Kilda, I thought that was, of all the comments he made, I thought that was almost the most interesting.
That
he
was
said,
the Brisbane reference, isn't it? Because they're saying, well, we could have, you know, Brisbane. What's fixed them wasn't the end of first round draft pick they got. It's a
the
coach
stability
and,
off
and
the field
and the footy manager.
Well, it was
and the stability.
The most damning, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was damning a very damning comment coming from headquarters.
Well, it doesn't the same thing apply to the Gold Coast then? Like, say, we'll fix the environment there rather than just get more picks.
Yeah. And the other thing that's been looked at, Hocking also indicated, was that mature players, giving those clubs access to mature players, the state league players. Your Tim Kelly is now the I suppose the poster boy for that kind of player. If he's playing for Carlton or playing for equivalent of him playing for the Suns, that actually has a bigger effect immediately.
Yeah.
So they are looking at that now. Will they do both? Will they give them priority picks in the middle of the first round or the end of the first round? It won't be the early ones, I don't think. Or will they do these mature players? I actually like this mature player idea, Carol.
So I think it's
got. What do you think, Bob?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I was curious as to how it works, the idea, the philosophy around, I think, works because a 22-year-old comes straight in and has an impact, whereas an 18-year-old kid, you know, takes time. But just the mechanics of how it works.
Well, how does it work?
Well, tellingly, Caro, not to get too grassy knoll on this, but the AFL have said that the delisted players can't be signed up as free agents. The players who were delisted last year, there's one in the VFL that fits into this category. So that leads you to think that they want those players in some sort of pool. So I think they would just give those clubs access to sign one or two of those players before the draft.
Is that a second draft? A little, we've spoken about it, a mature age draft that just runs before the main draft year, and it's only available to the sides that miss the eight?
Well, some clubs have submitted that. Some clubs have submitted that to the AFL as an idea. That's possible.
So can they have more room on their list then?
I don't know. But I think
following up that story, I think
yeah, well, I think it's open, but they're looking at giving them some sort of access to mature players, which would stop the howls from the other clubs about priority draft picks.
Wow.
And is it the right mechanism at the moment, Cara, that it is there's no transparency to it, there's no set formula, it's sort of the vibe?
Well, I prefer the vibe to what we used to have. Yeah. And, you know, we've talked about how wonderful Melbourne's been, you know, over last weekend. But what they did to those kids when they tried to get early picks by tanking was, you know, comparable to what Essendon did, in my view. And, you know, the damage they did psychologically.
Did they damage that club for alike in terms of their competitiveness? And I'm interested in your thoughts.
I think when you – even the hint of those sort of things, it's like termites in the football club of – are we trying to win? Those sort of things, it's just rotten in the foundations.
And yet there's a statue of Jim Steins outside the MCG, and he deserves it as a player, but I don't think he deserves it as a president.
What?
Just saying.
Just dropping that one in there. The second issue, though, of free agency, we've got Tom Lynch sitting there, and he's, as it stands now, he'll go to, if it's to be believed, the three clubs in the running are three of the four teams in the top four. What does that do for this argument of free agency? Will that be the next debate that is had, Jake, about equalisation.
It's already being had, Glees, as you know. It's exercised the you know, Gillon McLachlan speaking at the that down in Wine Country, Caro, talking about the disequal competition and what a huge problem it is. And free agency is only part of it because unfortunately a lot of the players that have left the Suns were not free agents. You know, we look at O'Meara and Prestia and Ablett, they're all in Caddy. They all just left. So it's not going to do everything, but I think there's ideas about how they maybe quarantine. You've brought this up as well, how you maybe the top four can't get them from a bottom team.
Yeah, but how do you shut the gate? I mean, that's
very difficult.
The Players Association are going nuts about that. I mean, if you're a really good player and you want to play in a premiership team, you should have every... I don't like free agency and I opposed it at the time and I still don't like it, but I don't see how you can now tell players they can't go to the team they want to go to just because it's successful. Do you? What do you reckon? I'm looking at Bob here.
I don't like that. I don't like the idea of free agency when it was first. As my understanding was, those players who were in and out of the side who could move sideways to play senior football. Now clearly that's not what that's not the headline grabber. It's for the top line players who have had enough of being on the bottom and go, I want to go straight to the top. I don't like that about free agency either. But the quarantine, we make more rules to top four. Like it's difficult.
One other option has been that the recipient club loses their first round draft pick. So if you get Tom Lynch, you don't just get him for nothing. Yes, the club gets compensated with Gold Coast gets compensated with an early draft pick. But say Richmond or Collingwood lose their first round draft pick as well. So that otherwise you're penalising all other clubs by pushing.
So you
them
do the mirror
back.
Image of the compensation. So yeah. you lose that.
Well, they wouldn't be mirror. You might lose pick 18 or 20.
Yes. But so Gold Coast lose Tom Lynch. They get a pick for him, and whoever he goes to, they give up. They have to give up a comparable
pick. Whatever they come up with, it's been recognised that the system isn't working.
And it's not just players. They need to go in, and Steve Hocking said on the weekend go into these clubs and look at the entire operation because it's off the field just as much. You need a strong footy manager, good coaches, good development, etc. It's
just between us. Welcome to another edition of the award-winning Just Between Us. The A-team has been together for a while now, of starting to find our groove. Sam McClure and Daniel Cherney, one piece welcome.
Sam, it's good to be with you here. I'm sure it is. Just Between Us. Yeah, always a pleasure to be in your company.
It's hard to disagree with that.
You paid me to say that. Sam, Just Between Us, Essendon season coming to an end. Well, their finals chances shot after the loss to Richmond.
Still a very disappointing season.
It was, although I think they found a few players that they unearthed, like the likes of Cole Langford, etc.
Yes, but it was a failure of season.
No, it was. I agree with that. One of those players that did show a bit when he got an opportunity after this poor start to the season was Sean McKernan.
Oh, he was terrific.
A bit of a journeyman over his career.
He shows glimpses of greatness. I don't think that's overstating it. And then sort of peters out and gets dropped and comes back in when they need an extra tall and... I like McKernan.
Intriguing player. He has been up and down from the rookie list, having been delisted by Adelaide. He is on the rookie list at the moment, offered a 2-year contract by the Bombers. Just Between Us, believe his management are pretty unhappy with the terms that have been offered.
Oh dear.
That it's been perceived to be a low ball by Essendon.
There'd be a few clubs that need a good ruckman. I mean, the Saints need one.
And forward.
Carlton need one.
Certainly. He's versatile, probably playing career best footy.
Then you're not going to need to pay him overs.
I wouldn't have thought so. I expect he will stay.
Okay.
But just between us, keep an eye on the situation.
Like you're sitting on the fence there a little bit. Daniel, just between us, Ben Simmons, who's down in his hometown, Melbourne, last week.
Yes.
Spending a bit of time and... doing a bit of photo shooting and advertising with...
He's a basketballer, isn't he?
Beats by Dre. You know, he plays basketball. Yeah, Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Yeah, Philadelphia 76ers. I was in town and just between us, I think there is a salubrious bar nightclub set up for Ben and a few high-ranking AFL types.
Oh, is that right?
On Friday night. And when Ben walked into the venue, he... told them that he didn't really want to make a big deal that he was here and just sort of slip into the back. And that message didn't get to the DJ fast enough, who saw him, stopped the music, turned on the lights, and announced Ben Simmons's arrival. Applause and screaming. I'm unable to comment about who was there at the time. I was,
of course,
doing Footy Central on Channel 7 on Friday night.
Which venue was it?
Miss Collins in Collins Street.
And any other AFL players?
I'm unable to comment. It's just between us that happened.
Sam McClure, dead batting a lot of these questions.
Well, yeah, sometimes you've just got to play cards close to your chest. You would do well to learn that.
Ouch. Sam, just between us, Michael Barlow, a man whose battle with Bell's palsy you reported on earlier this season.
He's had a tough year.
He has.
He's had a tough couple of years, to be honest.
Yeah, well, broken leg. Been out of the sun side quite a bit, despite
playing
the struggles.
Knee-fall, getting 50 in the knee-fall.
Just between us, look, his list position is unclear at this point, but
I think it's pretty clear.
As though it's likely
he might be there.
He's going to move on.
I think that's fair.
And one would imagine probably won't get another gig in AFL.
Unlikely, you'd think.
You could do worse, but...
Absolutely, yeah. He's been a terrific player.
Anyway, just between us, yeah. Michael Barlow, bit of talk that he's considering moving into player management.
Player management?
Yeah, that he's keeping an eye on that.
Really?
Yeah, that he's got a bit of interest. I don't think it's a guarantee, but... Yeah, you might be making a few calls to Michael Barlow down the track, Sam.
Well, maybe you already have.
Ooh, that was very cryptic there, Sam.
Just between us.
Just between us.
We're online all the time. Just search Age Real Footy on Facebook or Twitter.
He's kicked it to Connor Nash. They've combined again, the two Irishmen, Luke Bruce. 50 goals already this year. Make it 51.
Welcome back. Well, we think the eight is set, but the top four is still a bit fluid.
We're going to mention Richmond, are we? It's only taken three segments.
Do we have to?
Well,
Carrot, you've banged on about them every week.
A Richmond scarf today, Carrot.
No, I'm sorry. This is not a Richmond bias. They look like they're going to finish two games clear.
So we've known
that
for weeks. That's why we're interested in these other teams that are shaping the. Who's going to challenge them?
Well, it's going to be probably Sydney or Hawthorn, isn't it? In round one of the finals, whoever wins that game will finish fourth. Is that the way it'll probably finish up?
The chance Collingwood could end up fourth, but probably more likely, given the percentage, it's more likely it'll be Sydney or Hawthorn.
Speaking of free agents, Lance Franklin. I mean, you know, I think we can now say that deal was a pretty good deal. We talk about Peter Jackson's legacy to Melbourne, Andrew Ireland's legacy to the Sydney Swans, because he's also stepping down at the end of the year. Will be many things, but one of the top five has to be Lance Franklin.
Well, having said that, he's extraordinary. I think he's the best player. I'm always surprised that something I don't like about the Players Association Award, that Gary Ablett, he's a great player, but he's won five. Lance Franklin hasn't won one.
Oh, Nick Riebott.
How does that happen, Bob? I mean, that's ludicrous.
Well, don't point to me. I don't vote for him. I would have voted for him.
And did you vote for him?
Yeah, the midfielders. Dime a dozen.
Speaking of curmudgeons, Gleese, I mean, you sort of make out that, you know, the results have belied the fact that, you know, all his opponents have been banged up in the last quarter.
Two of the last three games, he plays against Collingwood and Darcy Moore goes off and they've got a basketballer in his first game playing on him. On the weekend, they had Phil Davis. He kicked one goal on Phil Davis when Davis got crunched, goes off the ground. Griffin's off the ground. They've got no bench. GWs are leading by two goals, and they've got no bench left, and he's playing on guys that aren't equipped to do the job. Davis stays on. I don't think Franklin has that sort of game. They've had great rivalry with us. Look, no doubt he's a fantastic player. I think he's the best player in the competition. But two of the three games, he's ended up with players that he's just looked across and gone, oh, you're kidding me.
That's a great headline.
I get to play on you? Right.
Buddy is Bradbury.
Yeah.
but on the deal, quickly, $9 million over 10 years, was that the deal?
10 or 10.1 over...
Over 9 years. But no allowance to bring in extra money out of the CBA negotiations. So when you hear about Jordan Dugowie being offered $1 million a year or more, Gaff, et cetera, not a bad deal,
great
really.
Deal.
It's not. So, but then it comes to this week. Frawley injured at the weekend. Sicily probably not getting back. He might be looking around again and saying, who do I call?
You can only beat who's there. You can only beat who's there. And what he has done for football in that city. And, you know, the, and it's worth saying that the two Sydney teams have made the finals again. I mean, it's just
incredible. Yeah. But also,
Caro, do they have to win a flag, though, to really frank this deal?
No, I don't think. I don't think in terms of. I'm sick of that argument about Lance Franklin. I mean, he's got them to two grand finals. They've not missed finals since he's been there. The people he has drawn to that football club, the football he has given us since he's been at that football club, albeit he missed the first final series because he had some issues with mental illness. I mean, I just think it is a win-win-win.
Or do you think the trading ban? Do you think the trading ban and the Cola absence sort of probably stymied their hopes of maybe? Well, they've been very close. They've been in two grand finals. Maybe that's rub of the grain.
They did recruit him for flags. So do they finish top four?
They didn't only recruit him for flags.
Do they finish top four?
I think they'll beat Hawthorn, yes.
Do you, Bob?
I think they'll beat Hawthorn, yep. So does that get him in the top four?
That'll be the toughest one to tip.
I think it's very tough, and I want to reserve until later in the week, but watch out for Sean Burgoyne.
We don't get a supplementary podcast later in the week, Jake. You've got to put it out there as you feel right now. I'm not as confident
as I feel right now. I'm leaning towards Hawthorn.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's a tough one.
So that then shapes as them playing Richmond first week of the finals. Yes, we've mentioned Richmond.
And then Sydney get to host if they finish fifth, which is what might happen, a home final.
They won't tank, GWS.
I think you go for that second chance either way.
You'd assume Collingwood beats Fremantle over there, given what they didn't kick anything for three quarters. So that gets them into third. If West Coast happened to lose in Brisbane,
Not beyond the realms.
They could drop to fourth. If Hawthorn wins, Collingwood wins, you then end up having, depending on other results, you can have a bunch of Victorian finals.
The percentage gap be made up, though? It's very close, isn't it? It's like within a decimal.
Oh, there's nothing
points
between them.
Yeah, okay.
That'd be devastating for West Coast to lose to Brisbane, as competitive as Brisbane has been. So, I think West Coast will host one.
I think
they
win, yeah.
They'll host a final over there at the new ground, which will be fantastic. Richmond will host a final. I think there'll be three finals in Melbourne, is what I reckon will happen.
They've been extraordinary, West Coast, particularly now. They're coming in now, the concussion. You'd expect Darling gets over that. I don't know how long they take, but flying. You've also got Kennedy out still. Gaff, we know, won't come back. But Kennedy, there'll be a query now whether does he come back in for the one game knowing he's got the week off. Can they get him back in for this week, or do they just rest him right through until the first week of the final and say, well, we'll back in the rest of them to be able to get over the line?
You'd play him, Caro?
No, I'd rest him.
I would sort of err on the side of resting him.
Well, yeah, but they're going to have to pull out a few stops to beat Brisbane, aren't they?
It's an interesting little win.
It's not a gimme that game.
No.
And just quickly on the what did we call it, the Terry Wallace Cup between Richmond and the Richmond and the Bulldogs. Bob gave me that idea. Would Richmond continue to rest a few players in that game, given how many they
well, the big one, would they rest Jack Rewalt leading the Coleman Medal?
I wondered that this morning when I was just having a look at some of the.
Okay, you're the Richmond match committee. Do you do it?
Absolutely not. No, play him. And because you know why? Because he'll want to play. So why would you upset
he'll be
Jack?
Players fill out their wellness every morning of, sleep, soreness. Jack will be 10, 10, 10, 10. Yeah. I'm right to go, coach. I'm sprightly.
As far as mindfulness goes, I'm mindful of the Coleman medal. I'm very mindful that there's a medal at stake.
They all keep an eye on at the full forwards.
Of course they do. He looks all right to me, Jack.
You might be going to the coach and just saying, I don't want to flirt with form.
I don't want to flirt with form. Maybe, if I just play deeper, then that'll, won't be so many K's in the legs.
Too much ground.
They are,
right
they
in
have,
the goal square.
The Achilles heel's showing, though. I mean, Jake's been banging on all year about how lucky Richmond are and how they haven't been injured, which is partly good management.
I wouldn't say banging on all year.
Well, you do say it a lot, Jake. Anyway, but you're right. They've had a much better injury toll than any of the other top eight teams. But they've now got Butler seems to be a worry. And that ankle surgery, he mightn't even be in until the second week of the finals. Ditto Kane Lambert, such an important player. Mm. Grimes seems to have hurt himself over the weekend, which is, I still think he should be all Australian. Yeah. Grimes.
Absolutely.
I think he's been unbelievable. Yeah. There was another injury. Castagna, I think, also hurt himself on the weekend. So Prestia's things aren't looking.
Sore.
Yeah, Prestia's obviously been an issue. I think Trent Cotchin will be all right, but it's not.
I think they did the Lambert surgery knowing that he'd be back for the finals, though. There's been a lot of planning at Richmond. Credit to them.
Getting Hawley
back.
I didn't say
it was just
Hawley's
luck.
Hawley's had a couple in a row. That's such an important player, Hawley. And he's had a couple in a row, and he looked like he was back last Friday night.
GWS are just looking at you and saying, you're really banged up, Tigers. Really banged up.
GWS didn't handle their pre-season as well as Richmond.
We'll take a break there, coming up quick questions.
You're listening to The Age, Real Footy Podcast.
Hacked out of their soccer style towards Franklin, who got a nudge in on Davis. Haynes there trying to corral him. Franklin through the tackle. Buddy Franklin with a team lifter.
Brilliant. Welcome back. Buddy's in form. But, Jake, who can win or who will win the Coleman medal when Jack Rewalt gets rested this week?
I'm going to go the outsider here and go for Tom Hawkins. Down at the Cattery. He's coming from the clouds like Kiwi. To kick about 8 goals, because that game could be very one-sided.
That'd be his.
If he can kick 8 against Melbourne, he can kick 10 against.
He looked sharp on the weekend. I was down there live. It was hailstorm, and he was marking cleanly, and he looked on
his
toes.
He's not won a Coleman before either.
Yep.
Surprising, isn't it?
It is surprising. Carrie, you'll be on Jack.
I think Jack will win it. He's 2 goals ahead, and they're playing the Bulldogs. I'm not dissing the Bulldogs. They've played
sounded
some
like
good footy
the
lately.
Bulldogs to me, but
no,
like
but
I'll be ferrying that back. But I'll ferry that back, but I'll leave out the fact that I'm also thinking the Jack will win the Coleman.
He's going to take
without the detailed explanation.
And what a season
Caro
he's
said
had.
This, but I actually agree with him.
Well. I think it'll probably be Jack, but I'd quite like the Tomahawk to do it and win his first one. Are you happy with the penalty, the fine, for Devon Smith for the...
No, I'm not.
Camden McIntosh attempted hit.
I'm not happy with the idea of that's just a fine. I'm sort of not happy either with the lack of kind of... There's been... With all the outcry a couple of weeks ago, and then, but he missed. So that's like, hang on a second. Like that's a genuine punch to a guy not expecting it.
So
like
you're not criticizing. I mean, I think you can't criticize what they apply. Criticizing what they apply. I mean, they're applying the schedule. You're saying that the schedule needs to be redone because that's the penalty for that.
Yeah,
offense.
Well, I think that's wrong.
Yeah,
I think that's wrong. That. Someone throws a full blood up just because he misses. That we go.
Yeah,
oh, it's just,
your intent.
No. Yeah,
so intent. So the suggestion
that's a violent act. That's not in play.
Yeah,
of
it's a couple of inches from being a gaffe incident.
Yeah, exactly.
So, from Camden McIntosh missing finals.
Yeah.
So the players taking the morals of footy into their own hands and taking a stand against punches. That suggestion lasted a long time.
Well, what did you think? You know, adding another question to quick questions. There was the Motlop punch, Jake, that was then the 50-metre, and it was there was the balance of, that's soft. And
Collingwood kicked about 7 goals in a row after that.
Yeah, I did. It was a turning point.
There was a couple of other punches. I think that they've got to change it. Steve Hocking intimated on the weekend he would change it. And for Michael Christian to say that it'll be carnage if you start suspending players for punches, I mean, Michael, I think we're talking about ending the carnage.
I actually don't think it was necessary to suspend. I thought that sort of penalty on the ground at that time is what will stop it as well. Just lots of free kicks. You punch someone, don't punch him, a free kick against you. That stops it, I think, Jake. No carnage.
Absolutely. The free kick at that moment in the game seemed very consequential. And it was undisciplined and poor by Motlop, who'd played very well to that point.
Okay. We did preface it as quick questions, and I've been
your
to blame.
Fault.
I've been to blame stuff, for that. Caro, what did you think? I can anticipate this. What did you think of Dane Sorko's post-match faux handshake with Tuk Miller?
Oh, I thought it was pretty childish. I don't think his club would have been super happy with it. They'll probably talk to him. They probably have talked to him about it. But I think when you look at that whole game, and it was an intriguing game, there was a faux sort of melee at the end of the second quarter.
And the Robertson words in the lead-in that created
which was really dumb. But Miller pushes Zorko over at a point at that melee and he lands flat on his face and another player's knee gets involved. I don't think that Tuke Miller's much fun to play on. So I think there was some sympathy from Brisbane as well. It's just that, look, at least they're being talked about, these two off-Broadway teams. But no, it wasn't. It wasn't very nice.
Jake, and question for all of you, the most disappointing club now for this year, given we know what the eight will be, or we believe we know what the eight will be.
It's almost a dead heat between Adelaide Football Club and St Kilda. But I think I have to give it to St Kilda because what they've done this year, and they sort of showed on Saturday night where the upper limits of their capabilities were. So I'd say St Kilda, but just in front of Adelaide, who I think have been diabolical.
Adelaide,
but I don't accept the injuries.
Adelaide by the length of the Rundle Mall, seriously. They came back to, you know, they came back to pre-season, a lot of them out of shape. They stuffed up the pre-season, both the administration and also the players. They never, ever really caught up. I know they had injuries, but this team was so far ahead, the best team last year after the home and away rounds, to where they've fallen now has been really disappointing.
It's Adelaide. The answer I give you is Adelaide.
Yeah.
But that's been settled for a while. The Port Adelaide, that's the freshest disappointment for me. Yeah. Because a month ago, you had them sort of underlined as they could win it. And now they won't even be in the finals. Think, they'd be shattered too. But the answer is Adelaide.
It's interesting. We don't even mention Fremantle.
We all agreed.
We probably didn't think the Bulldogs would have been mine the previous year. But I think by now we all accept they're rebuilding and we'll give them another chance.
I like your thinking, Murphy. That's all we have time for this week. A big thank you to you all, Caro, Bob, Jake, for joining us this week. And thanks to Channel 7 and Fox Footy for the audio we've used in this episode. Don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes and to send us an email with your questions and feedback. realfootypod@fairfaxmedia.com.au. Thanks for listening and we'll catch you at the end of the home and away season next week.